Praise God. Thank you for your prayers while I've been gone. Lord bless. Sister Catherine had called and asked me for this particular series, and I sent it to her, and she listened to it. And when she heard it, that's what she wanted me to come and minister when I got there. And so I sat back down, and I listened to it again, and because I wanted to kind of refresh my mind as to what the Lord was saying to us then. And so I went back over this particular message, and I rewrote it, and I redid it. And it's like the Lord began to really open, because this has been a year ago since I did this here. And it was like I could see that in my own life that God had begun to mature me over the past year. And so when I went back to redo it for when I went to Mount Zion, it was like I could see the maturity in my own life that God had taken me through things in my own life in that last year that I went back and I redid the message with more insight, and when I arrived at Mount Zion, I said, you know, this is not quite the message that you heard on the tape, but it's what the Lord's given me. It's like He's added to it, and she said, well, just preach what God's put on your heart, and so that's what I did, and then knowing that He was going to be gone this weekend, I began to pray and seek the Lord as to what He wanted me to share with you all, and through prayer and through ministering and talking and talking to Danny, he felt, and I felt, that this was to be ministered back to you. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to minister the anointing oil back to you, and it's the way the Lord's given it to me. And to me, what I would say is it's just a little bit more in depth, because in my own walk, the Lord has had to take me through more things in my own life to perfect me as a vessel. And so as He began to walk me through it, then I can give it back to you. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. And I want to say this, that you know, as I was meditating on it again this morning, it was like the Lord was showing me that, you know, if any of you came this morning with failures or weaknesses in your life or things that you just feel like you don't have the strength for and you just feel overwhelmed and there's things that you've just been taking before the Lord and you just can't seem to get free, it was like the Lord began to minister to me that this is your cure-all when I'm fixing to preach to you this morning. If you want victory, the Lord has victory for you. There is the Lord has caused us to triumph in Him, and He's saying that if we'll allow this process to go forth in our lives, there is no way that you can't walk in victory. And it was like the Lord began to show me that we're telling on ourselves. That when we keep things before the Lord, and we keep things before the Lord, and it's like we go years and years and years, and you know, I'm not trying to beat you this morning, but I am going to come. I felt the Lord grieve to some degree when I began to pray over this, and it's like, you know, some of us have had things in our lives for years. Years. I mean, and it's like you've not tried to hide it. You've admitted that it's there. And it's like you're saying that you're praying about it. But let's get real now. God is not going to keep this, He's not like some big guy in the sky that has a carrot dangling before you. You know, you're always trying to reach for this carrot. That's not the Lord. And what He's trying to say to you is you're a bit telling on yourself that you're not embracing this process in your life. And that's why you're not receiving the victory that your heart yearns for. Amen. And as I begin to minister this, I want you to begin to open your heart and see where you've veered off rather than embraced His word. Because there's some place throughout this message you're going to see where you have not embraced the Word and embraced what God's put before you with all of your heart, and that's why you're not getting the victory in these areas of your life. Do you understand that? And it's like, you know, I have my own flesh to deal with. I have my own weaknesses in these areas of my own heart that I have to deal with. And let's get real, the flesh would like to run rather than dig in. And that's a little term that we've started using at the house is, and those of you that's been in the military, you can understand when I say that, you know, we're going to have to learn to dig in rather than look a way out. Amen. And, you know, I've walked up to my husband at times, and, you know, when I'll see him struggling through things, it's like I want to hand him a shovel and say, you know, come on, we'll have to dig in. And he does the same thing to me. He looks at me and says, you know, this is not looking a way out. We've got to look a way in. And you've got to embrace God's word in your life. And it is not always an easy thing. It is not always easy because the flesh wants to scream and your desires want to scream and your ambitions and we have our agenda whether we'd like to admit to it or not. We all have them in our minds and our hearts the way we want things to go. We have these little packages that we want God to put the ribbon on and tie it up and hand to us. And that is not always the way God moves. And it is time that we in this body, we've been taught the Word of God and we've been taught it in truth. And we've been taught it with the anointing on it, and it's time that we we shake ourselves and dig in and embrace God's Word and stop stumbling around like blind men. Amen? With a hardness and an indifference in our heart. There's enough life and enough Word in this house that if we want to embrace it, we can see the life of God. I know that God's life is real. We don't have to always be looking for that river out there that we can swim in. It is right before us. And if you choose to swim, you can swim. I'm telling you, we're not embracing God's Word, and that's why we're not swimming. Amen? We can talk about it all we want to. And we talk a good game. We have been in this thing for so long that we have all the right words down pat. We can say all the right things and all the jargon. It's so pretty and it's so together and it sounds right. And you know, we come and we cry our same tears and we come to the altar and we cry and we pray our same prayer, but we're not free. And this word tells me that I can be free. I know I can. I have sensed the triumph of the victory that this word talks about. This word is real and it's true, and let every man and every devil be aware. God will cause you to walk in the victory of His Spirit. It is there to be had. There is a cloud of witnesses all around us that are saying it is to be had. It is yours for the taking if you'll embrace His Word. We're not embracing His Word. We're doing our way. Going our way, taking a little bit of God's Word and a little bit of our ideas. And that's what we're trying to build our Christianity on. You can't build your Christianity on that. It's on God's Word. And let me tell you, when the thorns hit you, they prick you and they sting you and they bite you. But my Jesus is there to pull in the oil and the wine, and He'll show Himself to you and you'll see Jesus revealed, and He'll fill and He'll flood your soul. He'll flood your soul. The Bible says that Jesus is our inheritance. Sometimes I think that we're looking for something that, we're looking for something to fulfill us. It's just not there. Jesus is the prize. Jesus is the prize. It's Jesus that's the prize. And maybe some of us are going to have to check our hearts and see if that's the prize that we're really looking for. You know, maybe we're looking for a mate, or maybe we're looking for a new house, or maybe we're looking for a car, or the American dream, or whatever it is God can give us. God, we're not in this to be blessed. We're in this to become a blessing and a vessel that's meet for the Master's use, that we can give life to those that are weary and worn and tired. Amen? And there are people that are embracing God's anointing. They're embracing it. They got a hunger in their soul to be used of Him, to bring Him glory in this last hour, to sit at His feet and to know Him, to have His heart, to have the heart and the fire of God burning in your breast, to be able to sense the movement of the Spirit. Not so much that I want to feel something, but I just want to be with Him. I want to sit with Him. I want to fellowship with Him. I want to commune with Him. And if that means being a vessel, I'll do it. There's times I don't even want to be a vessel. I just want to be with Him. I just want to be with Him. But out of that communion, He makes you a vessel. I don't seek to be a vessel. I don't seek to be some oracle of God. I seek Him. I fall hard after Him. I want His heart. I want to be able to love Him and commune with Him and worship Him and be able to bring glory unto His name. I love to sit in His presence. I love to call Him Father. I love to minister life to Him and love to Him and praise to Him. It is burning in my heart, and God is grieved that we would choose something other than His heart. And we walk defeated when His Word says we can walk in victory. We can walk in victory. We don't have to be weighed down. We're weighed down because we refuse to receive God's anointing for our lives. Oh, it's already quiet. It's okay. It can get quiet. But God's going to speak His Word this morning. He has a heart. There's a cry. There's a cry that is going forth. And He is crying for you to move forward, to come into His presence. I'm telling you, it is not the hour to sit satisfied. This is not the day nor the hour to get your mind distracted on this or that or the other of this American pie that we want to eat of. It is time. We're living in the last hour. We're living in the last days. This is the very last hour of time. Some of you are 30 and 40 and 50 years old. If you're ever going to be anything for God, if you're ever going to do it, it's now. It's now. It's always walking around wondering why you got something against me, and why did you say that about me, and why am I so this, and why are you so that? It is time to give it all into the feet of Jesus and rise up in this last hour and be used of God, to sit at His feet, to worship Him, to love Him, to embrace Him. Amen. It's intense because God is intense. He is good and He is gentle and He's loving and He's all those things, but He's given us the victory and He wants us to embrace where the victory comes from. It's in Him. It's in walking through the things, holding your hand tight to Him through the circumstances of life. Let's get real. We don't go through any more than the world does. Amen? And they make it. Somehow they make it. But we can go through holding the Master's hand and sitting with Him and learning of Him and having His heart beat next to ours. I seek that place. I seek that place next to His heart. I seek it. And you know what? He says it's there. You can have it. You can have that place. I've watched people over the course of time. You know, the world says you're nothing. You know, and the world has chewed you up and spit you out and you've tried to make it. And we've just not made it. But God's calling you this morning. There is not a reason, there is not a doubt in my mind that you sit in this place because your heart hungers for Him. But let's get real. We need to put our seatbelt on and we need to embrace Him with all we got and say, God, whatever you bring into my life, I'm going through it with you. I'm not going to look the exit. I'm not going to look the way out. I'm not going to pacify my flesh. I'm not going to preserve myself anymore. I am so sick of preserving myself. I'm so sick of the same cry. I'm so sick of the same tears. I'm so sick of the same prayer. I'm so sick of coming in this house and having to hear people pray constantly. Stir us, God. Where is a people that doesn't have to be stirred every week? Where's the people whose hearts burn for Him? They burn for Him. They burn with a desire for Him. They don't have to say, get out your big spoon, God, and stir me again. Yes, I'm stirred. Where is the fire God in our hearts? Where's the love that we say we have for Him? People drop off into hell as I speak this morning. People's lives are being twisted and torn and perverted while we're in our little world of what do you think I look like? Or what do you think this one said about me? Or how is my dress today? Or do my earrings match? Who cares? Where's the heart of God? Where's the heart of God? Where's the passion for Him? Where's the heart that burns for Him? I want to be with Him. And I don't want to just be with Him. I want you to be with Him. And I want you to be with Him. I want you to know Him. I want you to come into that intimacy and that fellowship with Him. That you'll know Him. That your heart will burn and cry for Him. You say, you're too intense, Sister Beth. God's calling. God's calling. We're living on the very last edge of time before He's going to come and take us home. Amen. We sit religious while our children get harder. It don't have to be that way. Who said so? Whose lie did you buy? Who says we have to be that way? Who says we can't walk with the joy of the Holy Ghost in our hearts? Who says that this walk can't be full of passion and desire? Who says we've got to walk bent over and full of ourselves and full of what this one says about me and what that one says about me? Who says we do? Who bought that lie? Who says you've got to be satisfied with two children, a car, and a house? Who said so? Who said that you had to be satisfied with what the American dream says it is? Who said? Whose lie did you buy? God says it's all in front of you. It's every bit in front of you. Stand up today and say, this is the hour and this is the day. This is the hour and this is the day. Glory to God. This is the hour. I don't have to be a grump. I don't have to be a drug addict. I don't have to be some little Christian. I don't have to be some indifferent Christian. I don't have to be some religious person that goes to church four or five times a week and doesn't have a TV. I can have the love of God in my heart. I can have the fire of God in my soul. He said we could. His promises are yea and amen. You don't have to settle for that. You don't have to settle for it. You can settle for Him and nothing less than Him. Or you can stand and say, He is my all in all. He is. He is everything that suffices me. So finally in my life, I can stand. He is my all and my all. The houses, the cars, the husbands, the children, nothing satisfies like Jesus. Nothing fills the longing and the cry of my heart like He does. Nobody is glorious and full of life like He is. Nobody and no thing. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. He's our Father. Our Father. Father God. We can say it. We can say it. He's our Father. He's our Father God. We don't have to want to hide our head. Well, can I really say, call Him my Father? Amen. He's our Father. He's our Father, and He calls. This day He calls. He says, you don't have to be satisfied. And we want to fill our minds and tell ourselves, oh, we're doing good. You are doing good. That's good. You're doing good. But you can do better. He's there. He's so fast. He's so fast. We've got a teacup of Jesus when there's a whole ocean of Him. His heart so cries for us. In our heart, we so want to preserve the flesh that we won't go through the anointing process to receive of His life, to walk with His Spirit. I don't want to be religious. I don't want some form of life. You know when you meet them when they got life and they're set apart. You know why? Because God's marked them. God's marked them. You know why? Because they've been anointed with the oil of the Spirit. And when God anointed them with the oil of the Spirit, they're set apart now. And you can tell it. You don't have to be around them but just a few minutes. And you start to sense it. And you start to feel it. You start to feel the life of God. And you know what it does? I can get around to myself. And I'll be sitting fellowshipping or we'll pray or we'll do this or that. And we'll be talking together and we'll start to talk about Jesus. And something starts to stir my heart. And it's like I feel like I've been pressing in, but there's something in my heart that says, press some more. It's like that thing starts to move and it starts to stir on the inside of me that I want more. I want more of Him. And you can't be around people that stir that in you unless they've got the life in them. I want the life in me. Jesus is what we're looking for here, people. We're looking for Jesus. We're looking for Him. And this is the way you're going to get Him. This is the way you're going to walk in victory, by embracing Him and pulling Him tight to yourself. And not looking the way out. Amen? We look the way out. But you don't have to today. You know what? You can stand up today and say, the world says I'm nothing. Sometimes my wife says I'm nothing. Sometimes my husband says you're an ag. You know, we say all those things and it all rolls up before us. But you know what you can do today? You can stand up today and say, God, I'm going to hear Your word. And for once in my life, I'm going to embrace it. And we're moving on. We're digging in and we're moving forward today. Nobody says I got to be this way. God didn't say it. God didn't say it. God didn't say you had to be weighed down. God didn't say you had to walk around in sin. God didn't say you had to walk around oppressed and depressed all the time with no joy. God's word doesn't say that. That's a lie that you're buying from the flesh and from the enemy. God says you can walk in joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. He says you can walk with the joy and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to settle for some religious form. And oh, I come to church 4 times a week. Who cares unless you come to church? I want the life of God in my soul. I want the joy of the Holy Ghost. The joy in the midst of the trial. The joy in the midst of the circumstance. The joy in the midst of all the situations. Where I can see Jesus bigger than myself. Where I see Him. God says that's what you can be satisfied with, is seeing me. I want to show you myself. I want to prove myself to you. How many times has He put you all in situations when He wanted to show Himself mighty on your behalf? Oh, we quote it. We quote it. But when God puts us in it, we don't want to see Him mighty. But you know what His eyes are still doing? They're still looking. And they're still roving to and fro, looking for those on whose behalf He can show Himself mighty. And He'll put you right in the midst of situations and trials in your life. And you know what you do? You start digging in. I'm going to see Him mighty. I'm going to see Jesus mighty in my life. And you start to dig in. And you wait and you behold the salvation of your God. And you see Him. It's almost as if the heavens break open and you see Him. And you see His might. And you see His call. When we talk about, oh, He's a loving, a kind, gentle Savior. Well, dig in and let the heaven open and you'll see His love because you see Him strong in the midst of your situations. But if you're always looking the door out and your mind is always distracted and you always got your desires on the front burner, you're not going to see Him mighty. You can quote it. You can quote it until now, until the eastern sky splits and Jesus takes His people away. But there's going to be a people in this house and you can say I'm prophesied
You can say whatever I want of you, and I tell you, there's going to be a people in this house, in this last hour, that's going to stand up and say, I saw my God mighty! And the love of God is going to start to roll in their soul. Yes, they're going to defy hell. They're going to defy the world. They're going to defy family. And they're going to see Jesus mighty. And the love of God is going to be in their soul. And there's going to be a great testimony and a great witness in this last hour of the power and the love of Jesus. Glory to God. If you're waiting to get stirred, you're late. I tell you, he's going to do it because there's some of you, you've been beat down and knocked around long enough. And Jesus said, dig it in, brother, and dig it in, sister, and I'll show myself mighty in your life. I'll show myself mighty in your life. It ain't for no weakling. You said, but I'm weak in myself. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about whiners. This ain't for no whiners. This is for the one that says, God, I am weak, I am nothing, but in you I can do all things. Oh, that's a pretty scripture. Oh, we can do all things through Christ, which... Boy, that thing's got to get real right down in your soul. And you know how it's going to get real? It's just going to put you right in the midst of circumstances where you can't do nothing. You're so weak, you've got to look up and say, God, I need your help. And you know what? God's going to pour. You know what that means? I can do all things through. You know what that means? It says God opens up the top of you and pours his strength in. You got to prove him to do that. And you can't do that being strong and mighty all the time. You can't do that when everything's going wonderful all the time. You do that when things are tough, when things are hard, when you don't know which way to go. God opens you up. And you say, God, I need your strength. And he starts to pour his strength in. And you know what you do? You stand up and say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. You got to prove him to be that in your life. You can't walk around murmuring and whining all the time. You say, God, put your armor on me and help me dig in. Sometimes I don't even think I got the strength. Like, you ain't got the desire. But I start praying for grace. And what's grace? It's the will and the desire and the power and the ability. God, I need grace to dig. I need grace to dig. I need grace to dig. My flesh wants to run. But God wants you to dig in. He wants to show himself mighty on your behalf. We can be religious and we can be worldly. We can be whatever we want nowadays. Take a number, pick a one. Pick it. It's multiple choice. You want to be a worldling? You want to be a whore? You want to be a prostitute? You want to be a drunk? You want to be a drug addict? Take your choice. You can have it. But I tell you, there's a few in this last hour that said, I'm going to be a woman of God. I want to be a woman of prayer. I want to be a man of God. I want the oracles of God in my heart and my soul. I want the life of God stirring me. I want it to move me. I want to have my being in Him. And they're going to start standing up everywhere you turn. They're going to start, and you know what? You know what you're going to get? Them looks. What'd you go get spiritual for? Call it what you want. Well, why are you getting loud when you pray for? Call it what you want. I got a stirring in my soul. I got a hunger in my heart. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of religion. I'm sick and tired of church. I'm sick and tired of a fuss. I'm sick of it. God says you ain't got to live in no fuss. God says the anointing can break the yoke. You got a yoke in your life today. He said, I can break the yoke. You got to live that way. The Word didn't say I had to live that way. God said there's victory in Jesus. Oh, we want to sing it, we want to shout it, but let me tell you, there is victory in Jesus. God didn't say you had to live that way. You want to choose your way, you go, and they'll chew you up, spit you out, and with another one. But you want to go God's way, it's going to take a man and a woman of God. It's going to say, I have not got it, but in you I can be anything. I said, oh, now you're talking about how you're just trying to pump the people up. I'm trying to get the people to see that my God's real. I'm trying to get the people to see that what this book says is true. It's true. You just take the time to prove him. It's like running every time the heat comes. And it's going to come. And you know what the heat does? It awakes the saints. It's in the fire. resurrection, but Jesus said, I tread upon the head of the serpent. We shout it, but I'm telling you, he'll do it. We got to see him. The life has got to be moving and breathing and living inside of us, the life of God.
Not so hard. Praise God. Let's talk about the anointing oil. All that is for this. The anointing will break the yoke. I said the anointing will break the yoke. You say, well, I don't have whatever it is in your life. It'll break it. The yoke, the bondage, the heaviness, the weight. God's anointing will break the yoke. You say, but I have these temptations. I have these things, these evil tendencies. God said the anointing will break the yoke. The anointing will break the yoke. Do you need victory this morning? Do you need to be an overcomer instead of always at the tail? He didn't say he made you the tail. Did the Word say you're supposed to be the tail? The Word says he made you the head. The head. The head. I can't be the tail for being the head. Because that's the way God ordained it. God ordained you to be the head. What do you mean the head? At the front with your warfare and your weapons drawn. He don't want you at the tail scared and afraid. He wants you at the front with your sword drawn, ready to go to battle against the enemy, against the flesh. Do you see what the enemy's doing to the world? He's taking them. He's binding them up. He's deceiving them. He's blinding them while we sit and try to get free. I tell you, there's freedom in my Jesus. I tell you, there's a river to swim in. Woo! There's a river. I said a river. The river of God. And you can swim in it. I don't care what your mama said. And I don't care what your daddy said. This is what the book said. There's a river of God. And you ain't got to stay at ankle deep. And you ain't got to stay at knee deep. You can swim. It's your choice. You don't have to. You can swim. God didn't say we had to cower in fear every time something come up. He said, yeah, it's a hiding place. I'm a pavilion. I'm a shelter. He's a stronghold. He's a counselor. He's whatever you need. You can't sit on the fence and try to love the world with God too. But I tell you what, when you mess up your mind and it's going to be Him and Him alone, you'll see God mighty in your life. And He'll start to break those yokes of bondages, those desires. You say, yeah, I'm sitting on the fence, Sister Beth, but I got a heart for God. I desire Him. I tell you, God will break that yoke of bondage. That love of the world. That love of the world from your heart. God will break that bondage. That desire for things. The desire for worldly things. The desire to be recognized. The desire for the praises of man. God will break that yoke in your life till you're free. Until you're free. So you can be used to Him. So you can sit and worship Him. And sit at peace and at rest in the presence of God. Hallelujah. What is the anointing? Let's talk about it. Am I anointed this morning because I've been loud? Because I've cried? Because I've screamed? No, that's not the anointing. And you know, we hear all kinds of sermons about it. We read books. We hear tapes. But I tell you, what is a true anointing? A true anointing means that you've been set apart. And you've been separated for God. Somebody ought to want to shout. You've been taken out of the world and you've been set apart for Him. And the Old Testament meant to smear you, to grease you, to anoint you. It meant to consecrate you. To separate you from unholy use to holy use. It's to separate you for the service and the worship of God. Well, when we came out of darkness, God translated us into the kingdom of His Son to show forth His praises. So we've all been separated unto God. And God's got you separated and now He wants to anoint you. Now you're going to receive His anointing. Well, that's another story. You see, you can be saved. You can go, the Bible says you can have all these good works and they be just works and they can pass through the fire and all be burned, but you'll still have your soul. Well, you've been come out of darkness and now you're sitting in light, but are you going to receive the anointing? So my point is that you can be just sitting here saved and not be anointed. I talked to many that didn't have no anointing, didn't have no life,
They had all the right words. They had all the right jargon. They knew what to say. Then you had a dance and you had a shout. They knew it was the right time to cry, but they didn't have the anointing. They didn't laugh. I tell you, when somebody's got a laugh, it'll stir something in your soul. You start to get something stirring in your heart. You get a hunger starting to get stirred in you.
That's the laugh. That's the anointing. Amen? Well, in the New Testament, it meant this. It meant to anoint, to consecrate, which was to set you apart, to grease you. Got it? Okay. Another thing that it meant was a union. Now, we're talking about the anointing, so that's the picture you're going to have to get. It is a union. And a union is when two things become one thing. And so when God puts His anointing on you, you and God become one. See, we're waiting for the biggie. That's the biggie. Can you imagine when a man starts to pass under the anointing and he starts to embrace this process that's coming into his life, and instead of running, he starts to dig in because he's going to prove his God. And the anointing starts on the top of his head and it starts to run down him. And the two of you used to be your own self. And you used to make your own choices. And you used to make your own decisions. And you went your way. And you could talk yourself in to agreeing with your flesh real easy. But that person that used to make those kinds of decisions is now becoming one with God. Now we make God's decisions. And we go God's way. And we go with His guidance and with His direction. And so that anointing, the Holy Ghost, is starting to come upon you. And you're not your own man anymore. You become God's. And you're one with Him. And your heart beats for Him, and you want His desires and His longings and His heart. And God begins to give you a hunger for souls and for prayer and for communion, and His desires start to become your desires. So you start to come into a union with God. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. And so we thought we were just going to come up and get smeared with oil this morning and go back to our seat and we were going to have it. That's not what we're looking. And you know, we're not looking a blessing. We're looking for God and us to become one. We want to come in union and in complete oneness with Him. That's the anointing. The anointing is also an ornament. Ornament. A-R-M-A-M-E-N-T. Ornament. You know what that is? That's a body of soldiers or forces. It's a troop of soldiers. And these soldiers are equipped for war. And they've encamped. Meaning that they've, what do you call it, pitch a tent? Set your tent? They put up their tent. So what the Lord's trying to get you to see is that when this anointing starts to come upon you, not only do you become one with God, but God sends you an army of soldiers and they reside on the inside of you. And they're not just soldiers passing time, drinking beer and reading cards. They're an army that is encamped. They pitch their tent. They're not going to run. They've got sticky. That's where the state, North Carolina Tar Heels comes from. In the Civil War, they said that our men were so brave as if they had tar on their feet, they wouldn't move in the midst of the battle. They stuck firm. God says that He's got an army that'll stick firm. They'll dig in and they'll stay until the war's won. I need that in my life. God says I'll send an army of soldiers and they'll pitch their tents and I've equipped them and they've got their army and their warfare pulled out and they're ready to go to battle against these things in your life, against the enemy, against the flesh, against how the devil succeeds the law. He said that army will reside in you. It's an army that's ready for war. They've been taught. They've been trained. And those of you that's got a little bit of this anointing in your life, you sense that from time to time. You sense that because you sense strength coming to you. And you sense wisdom come as to how to deal with situations. And you sense the strength of God rise up in your life. And it's almost like you have to shake yourself as to where did all the strength and the wisdom come from. It's from this army that God sent to encamp in your life. What do you think it means when it says the battle is not yours? That's what the Word says. The battle is not yours. It's whose? The Lord's. Well, where's He going to fight the thing at? He has sent an army to encamp within you, to reside in you. They pitch their tents. They're not going anywhere. And they are going to fight the battle. Woo! I got it in me. I see it in me. But I sense God. It's almost like you want to take a step over and just watch him. Because he's mighty. He's mighty in battle. Oh, we can sing and we can shout it when they get to singing about it. But let me tell you, my God is mighty in battle. He's mighty. And if you'll embrace him and draw him close to you, not run from this process, God said, I'll call for him to reside in you. And you can walk in victory. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say it was going to be marshmallows and cream puffs. He said it was going to be situations that you're going to be put in, that I'm going to show myself mighty on your behalf, where you're going to know that the battle is mine and not yours. God's going to prove his word to you. He's not afraid to prove this word to you. He's not intimidated with your problems. He is sitting there waiting. His eyes are running to and fro in this building as we speak, looking for somebody that he can show himself mighty but on their behalf. You never give him the chance. You always move. You always run. God puts you in a tight spot and you're calling this one and that one and the other one trying to get yourself out. When it was God to put you there. If you're a child of God, nothing passes your life into your life that didn't pass him first. Now, I'm not talking about your nasty sin. He's got something for that, too. But I am talking about situations and circumstances that come into your heart and into your life. God knew they came. They had to stop at the throne and ask permission to move forward. Oh, now, Sister Beth, you're really trying to encourage us now. I'm telling you what the Word says. Isn't that what the Word said? That the enemy had to come and ask God, can I go and do this to Job? Can I go and try his heart? Can I go and see if this man really loves you? Can we go and see? God said, go see. Because I'll prove myself mighty on behalf of Job. Because he's a man of God. He has a heart for me. You see, you think you just play in church. And we just think if we get all the words right, then we can see it. I'm telling you, God ain't got to get his words right. He can do anything his book says anytime you put it to him. Anytime you ask him, say, God, I'm in the midst of a mess. I don't know nothing about this stuff, but your word says this. God, I want to think that's real. He comes to him like a little child. God, your word says that. Is that real? Is that real? God, I want to know if that's real. Dig yourself in. I'll show you. I'll show myself strong on your behalf. I'll show myself mighty on your behalf. Just dig in. Just like a child. There ain't no yelling. There ain't no screaming. There ain't no stomping. God, will you show me if that's real? Is that real? You know, Sister Beth talks about it's real. She acts like it's real. Something about it's real must be. Will you show me if that's real? Dig yourself in. And you hear him. You hear him, and your flesh wants to cut the fool. But you hear him. Dig yourself in. You go, Brother so-and-so. So-and-so's gone in my life. What? And Brother so-and-so, he ain't got no anointing either, so he agrees with your flesh, and you both miss him. And you run to the pastor, and the pastor tells you, it's just as nice and just as sweet, because I know him. Dig in, brother. Dig in. We're going to prove God in this one. We're going to prove God. And you get on the phone just as quick as you can get out of that office, and the devil starts talking in your ear, and your flesh starts saying, I don't know about this. This is going to be tough. You know what it is? But God wants to show himself mighty on your behalf. And you go run and get on that phone, or you go side up with so-and-so or so-and-so, and their life, their track record ain't worth having. And here we go. And nobody sees God. And the pastor keeps rolling along, preaching the word. You keep seeing these things going in his life, and you start scratching your head about why is that going with him and it ain't going with me. And then you'll see one start to come on and start pressing in prayer, and you get to scratching your head about him. So, well, now something's happening in his life too. What's the deal? He dug in. He finally got tired of following his own flesh and decided to take some good counsel, and he dug in, and he's starting to see God move. He's starting to be like a child saying, God, what about that judge? God starts to show himself mighty on your behalf, and you start to say, man, this thing is real. Woo, this thing is real. This ain't no Sunday going meeting club. This ain't no, if I stay in church four times a week and I don't watch no TV, maybe I'll get in them pearly gates and I'll get to see.
this thing's real. This thing will put something in your soul. It'll put something stirring in your soul. It'll put the life of God in you. Boy, will you walk with a bounce in the midst of hell? I mean, it is rough, it is tough, it is hard, but something on the inside of you saying, we're going to see Him, we're going to see Him, we're going to see Him, we're going to behold the salvation of our God. Moses had his wall back up against the wall. He didn't have nowhere to go. He said, what am I going to do? God said, dig in, brother, we're going to behold, we're going to see the salvation of your God today. Today, the enemy will float on the waters of the Holy Ghost. Gonna float in the waters, in that river of God. The enemy will float. They'll be dead today. What did Moses do? Oh God, what am I gonna do? He said, what you want me to do, God? He said, I want you to hold that rod out and I want you to see them waters split. You don't believe it. You don't believe it. You don't believe it because when she sings it, oh, I want to have to tie you down. She'll get to singing about he was. Woo! It stirs something in my soul because I've been there. I have been where I got the enemy breathing on my neck and I got to see in front of me. I ain't got nowhere to go and if God don't move, I'm dead. I have been there in my life. I have had bondages in my soul, in my heart, weighing on me and I knew I couldn't go that way and I couldn't go that way and God had me hemmed in and I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. And I'm on my knees and I'm crying out, God, you gotta help me, I gotta see you, I gotta get free of this thing, I gotta be able to be used to you, I gotta be able to commune with you and fellowship with you, and this thing hinders me and I can't move back, and I can't move forward. And God said, dig in, girl, dig in. Today you're gonna see my salvation, and I've seen it. I've seen it, I'm gonna tell you, I've never been the same since, I know He's real. You ain't gotta tell me. This book don't have to tell. I know in my soul. I saw Him. I saw Him split a Red Sea. And I didn't go mucking and miring across some old muddy mud hole. He said they'll walk on dry land. Dry land. Woo, that was walking on dry land. That's Jesus. Not dragging through. Oh, the enemy's behind me. But let's see if we can drag through this mud hole. Mm-mm. Once you dug in and God's ready to move, He moves. Amen. They were walking on dry land. Woo! Glory to God. The anointing is an army that encamps within you. It's what fights your battles when the battles come and they come. Wake Him up. Turn around, wake Him up. I come to do church. Praise God. It is an army that's encamped within us. Amen. It's encamped within us and it's dug in and it's not going to move. And it's going to fight your battle and you're going to see Jesus. And unless you see Jesus, you're not going to know Him. You're not going to ever prove Him to be real in your life. You're going to walk around wondering all the time. God wants it real. He wants it to be life in you. He wants you to be able to minister life. And you've got to prove Him. And so He's going to put you in these situations where you're going to prove Him. Amen? Well, you know what else it is? He says that this is what the Strong's Concordance says about the anointing. It is a man of war. The anointing resting upon you that has pitched its tent over you, as Paul called it. He said, I glory in my weaknesses because the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, will come and pitch His tent over me and He'll make His abode and He will abide within me. He says that abiding and that abode over me is like a man of war. He said, I'll make you a soldier to fight. I'll teach your hands to fight. I'll teach your hands to war. You won't have to be defeated. We can be strong in the power of the Lord and His might and not our own. You know what else it is? It's a military campaign. And I asked Brother Rick about this one time. And I told him folks at Mount Zion, I did too. He said, I asked that brother about military campaign, because that kind of sounded like a big deal to me, but I wasn't quite sure. And Brother Rick said that a military campaign was when all the forces convene on one area, right? Like D-Day. D-Day was started with a military campaign, and that's when everybody was to convene in one spot. You got that picture now. This is the anointing of God. And what he's saying is, you know what that means? A military campaign. You know what it meant, the Strong? to contend with carnal inclinations. Woo! We got them. But you got to get the picture of what God's got to take care of it. You see, we have these desires in our heart that want to do this all the time. They want to reach back. We have so-called godly desires that ain't godly, if you get my drift, that want to reach for these things. And God's saying that He'll send a military campaign into your heart, into your life. And everything, all the forces, Navy, Army, whatever, starts to all convene into one spot. And that becomes their objective. You see, they don't go for anything but that one objective. And everybody's mind and everybody's heart and everybody's been trained to do the right thing at the right time. And everybody's geared for that one spot. And you know what that one spot is? That carnal inclination in your heart. And so when that thing starts to rise up within you, you start to call on God and you call on the Holy Ghost and you call for God's strength, and all of a sudden all these forces start to convene right in on that one spot, and it becomes objective pride. It becomes objective jealousy or objective bitterness or objective resentment or objective I like the praises of man or whatever it is, and everything convenes right in on that one spot. And you know what? It digs in until the victory's won. That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's the anointing of God. He said, I got this thing in my life, God. I got this thing in my life, Sister Beth. I don't know if I'm going to ever get free. God said, I'll send a military campaign. They'll come from the air. They'll come from the land. They'll come from the water. They'll all come to that one spot. And God said, they'll dig in until the victory comes. Until the victory comes. But I've been in this bondage for years. But my God has been at it before the foundations of the world, when the earth was void and when the form of God was moving. You ain't quite excited enough. You know why? Because there are some victory in your soul. There is no reason why we can't walk in victory. There is no reason why this church shouldn't be abuzz and aglow with the fire of God. I'm going to tell you why. Because we're not embracing God's anointing. And we're not drawing it close to us. We're going our own way, thinking our own thoughts, doing our own religion. And we're leaving the anointing of God to Him. Because we're saying we don't need it. We don't want it. We don't want it that way. God says, you've got them things in your life. You've got those inclinations. They're carnal. They're not godly. They're not of me. I don't desire them to be there. And God's saying, receive my anointing. And we'll convene on it. We'll convene on it. We'll bring everything we got. And we'll get right in that one spot until the victory comes. I'm a testimony of it. I've seen Him do it. I had things so dug deep in my heart, I felt like the roots were down to my toes. And God, the Holy Ghost, heard my cry. And I kept crying to Him. And I kept crying out to Him. And I didn't run. For once in my thinking life, I didn't run. I said, God, for once in my life, I remember saying it to Him. I said, God, for once in my life, I've got to prove You. It can't be on the pastor's prayers. It can't be because the pastor preached this or Brother David preached that or Pastor Carter preached. I've got to prove You for once in my life. I've got to know. I've got to know that You love me. I've got to know that You'll do this for me. I've got to know that what Your Word says is true for me. And I didn't run. And it was only God's grace that I didn't run. You know why? Because I pray for grace. God, give me the grace not to run and bail out. Give me the grace to dig in. And God gave grace. He gave grace. And I would dig every day. I would dig every day. I said, God, I'm going to prove You. I'm going to prove You. I come to this church every single night, every single day. And I pray. And I told God. I didn't pray for myself. I pray for you all. Because He told me in Isaiah 58, if I pray for you, that my light would come. He said that my light would come as a noonday sun. And I came and I put you before God every day, every day, every day, every night, every night, every night. And my light came because God convened on that area. As I prayed for you, God began to work in me. And it was as if they came from everywhere. This strength and this power and the encouragement would come just when I would need it. And it began to convene on that one spot. And it began to work it out. Work it out. Work it out. Until the light came. and I proved it. I was more excited about having seen God than I was having been free. I saw him. I saw him. And I walked around for months saying, is everything fixed? I did it. I walked around like I was in the day. Is everything fixed? Now I remember going up to somebody saying, he's everything he said he did. He did just what he said he did. Because he's real. And he's truth. And he can't lie. And he's bent on blessing his people. And he wants them to be the head and not the tail. He wants them to overcome. He wants to see his spirit and his power and his church go forth. He's not coming back for some weak church. The word says he's coming back for a glorious church. I didn't say it was going to be a big church, but it can be glorious. Amen? He says that he'll furnish us with everything that we need. That's the anointing. It furnishes you with what you need. Amen. I need lots of things. Different things. Sister Dasher needs different things than I need. Joshua needs different things than I need. But God says, whatever you need, I'll supply. Because he wants you to go forward. He wants you to be victorious. He don't want you walking around the head, the tail end all the time. He wants you to go forth in power and might for you. That's part of the catch. It's for him. For him. It's for people who have a heart for him. Amen? It also means to light upon or to rest on. So once this anointing comes, it's not like it comes and goes. So that's what we like to think. Well, you were anointed today, but last time you ministered, you weren't anointed. Or last time you went on the street, I don't think you were as anointed as this time when you went. When you pass through this process, it abides. Does that mean everything's always hunky-dory? I just told you everything's not always just wonderful. Because that's how you see Jesus. It's when things aren't so wonderful. And we start to see him in his glory. We start to see him in his power. We start to see him and his love and his goodness for us. Amen? But it says that he'll rest upon you and he'll be in your life. And you're not even sometimes aware that it's that evident in your life until people start to say something about it. And nobody even cares at that point. You're so in love with him and you so embrace him. You don't care if you got it or you don't got it. You just want him. Amen? And so God brings these things in our life. So what we found out is the anointing is that he is going to anoint you with. He's going to grease your forehead with it. He's going to pour it on you. Like all the kings and priests were anointed. And he took the anointing on and he poured it right over the head and it would go all the way down. And that's what God wants to do with your life. He wants to hide you in that anointing. Amen? He's going to hide you and you'll see the anointing. You'll see the life of God. Not you, but the life of God. And so what we found out is that this anointing is a union. It's a two come and become one. Amen? It's an armament, meaning it's a force. It's a body of forces and army and camp that set up its tents within you. And that's who's going to fight your battle. Amen? And he'll make you a man of war. And the Bible talks about Jesus being a man of war. Amen? And it also says that those of you that are struggling with sin, he said that he'll cause a military campaign to arise and abide within you to fight those carnal inclinations in your life so that you can be in communion and fellowship with him in this last hour and so that you can be used of him. And so you've got no excuse not to walk in victory. Amen? Our help is in him. It's all in him. He has sent us everything that we need to walk in victory, to walk with the fire of God, with the passion of God in our hearts, with the life of God oozing from us. He's given us all that we need. And tonight when we come back, we're going to talk about this process because now we know what the anointing is and every one of us that have good reasoning and good sense are saying, I want that. I got to have it. Not only do I want it, I need it. And then some of you to the point was, I know I need it and I know I want it, but I know that if I get that, I get him. And that's why I'm after. I'm after him. I want him. I want to be in communion with him. I want to be in fellowship with him. And I want to honor him with my life. I want my life to be an honor and a glory unto him. And so God has sent us all that we need to do that. Amen? But tonight, we're going to talk about the process of the anointing. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the anointing oil and what goes in that oil that makes it so special and makes it so powerful in our lives. Amen?